Alt Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a pom, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
Hello and welcome back. It is episode 35 of Alt Down Under with me, Luke Scanlon, here with you once again. And let me tell you, a bloody good episode we have coming your way. A landmark episode. We've hit another digit of five. What a time to celebrate. This is with a Melbourne-based band who I have been loving in recent months. They've just had their debut EP release after forming back in the COVID years, and they've got a few dates around Australia right now as well. Episode 35's featured interview here on Alt Down Under is with the ace, Divers. Chatting with frontman Ben in just a wee while, all about that debut album, Odd Dog in the Capital, plus the way they go around writing songs, hunting feelings within songs. We'll find out what he means about that and how it feels to get that debut album out into the big bad world. All that coming up here on Alt Down Under.
Alternative Down Under.
Well, hello kids, it's been a hot minute between episodes, but as always, this is a one-man show and life sometimes gets in the way. I've started a new job, content producer at Mushroom Group, working for Mushroom Creative House, and man, what a ride it's been in the last couple of months. I've just about had time to put my feet on terra firma and to relax and go, okay, right, I can breathe again. It's always a busy time learning a new job, and yeah, it's just been so good. Some of the stuff I've been up to has just been wild. I've like been on the roof of stadiums, I've been on the turf at the MCG, I've been talking to people in LA, in London, it's all been going on. And I'm also glad to still be doing this Alt Down Under on the side, bringing the artists that I love talking to, making my little videos, my little artist recommendations, and hopefully just building a community around this thing and giving still a platform to artists who still really need it. Because us as punters, stuff like Spotify, Apple Music, they are great for us, but not so good for the artists. So I'm trying to do as much as I can to help those people and also to give people another place to find them as well. So yeah, what has been going on in my life in terms of music, man? Well, a couple of great shows in recent weeks. I've gone to see Genesis Owusu down at the Forum. Holy fook, man. Honestly, his latest album, Red Star Woo and the Worldwide Scourge, is unreal. And live, just wow. He had the whole of the Forum sat down with himself just in the middle of the crowd, and it was honestly like some sort of biblical tableau. It was amazing to witness. And what a repertoire of tracks he has, honestly. Just stuff ranging from funk, there's soul, there's rap elements, there's rock in there as well. He really does span the genres, to coin a very cheesy phrase. But, oh man, such a great performer. And on the other end of the scale, I went down to Hamer Hall here in Melbourne and caught the wonderful The Sacred Souls live. Just, it was pure melt-your-heart music. And me and my friend, we were down there, me and my good friend Jono, we were like, can we have one bottle of wine, please? And the person serving us was like, you can't actually take the bottle in. So we had to split the bottle, bloody maniacs, and walked in with the fattest glass of wine into Hamer Hall, walking along down the aisle, took our little perch, and lo and behold, a former Alt Down Under interviewee sat right next to me. I had the pleasure of sitting next to another brilliant Australian artist, Ella Thompson. So I was sat next to Ella, had a lovely little catch up, and we're, yeah, just kind of checking in with each other throughout the show, being like, bloody hell, how good are they? So good. And oh man, live soul is just so good for your heart and your body and quite literally your soul. And I think I said in an earlier episode, Golden Plains, when I saw Jalen Gonda, who's just released his new album, Doctrine of Love, man, it's just makes life feel great. It's just such good music. As you know, I am a big soul fan. I've spoken to the likes of Awelu Dreamhouse, Wilson and Ella here on the pod, and so much good Australian soul out there. Don West as well. There really is so much for you to go and explore. And what a weird time it is as well. It comes into June. I just turned 32. Had a great birthday. Hangovers are getting slightly worse, and you start going, fuck, this is the one time of year where the weather back home in the UK does start turning into the summer goodness and you're going, fuck, I live in a tiny drafty little house in Fitzroy. I'm cold to the bone. What the fuck is going on? Hang in there, guys. If you live in Australia, the winter's not that bad and it's not that long. But yeah, I am getting a bit jealous into that festival season in the UK. If you haven't been over to the UK, I urge you to go and to check out a festival. It's just next level. I love it. All right, I reckon we have enough bloody rambling from me and we get into this episode's featured artist interview. As I mentioned at the top of the show, this is with Ben, the frontman of Melbourne outfit Divers. We're going to be getting into everything around the new album. How did they get the ideas behind the tracks? Because they're not obvious themes within their tracks. It's not all about love and loss and desperation. There's stuff about mice. There's stuff about trees. It's all going on. Anyway, without further ado, here is episode 35's featured artist interview here on Alt Down Under. Benny from Divers, welcome to Alt Down Under, mate. Episode 35, it's a slight landmark. I feel any zero or any five is a bit of a landmark, so welcome along. Morning.
And me.
I see, if anyone listening won't know, but we've both dressed in red. We're that far in sync already, which I'm really happy about, which is good. Although I am really jealous of your hair, brother. You've got a much better head of hair than I do. How often do you have to keep your tash, like, graded, like, tidied up and what?
Starts getting stuck in my mouth and get food in it.
Yeah. What is there any like real bad bit of food that you found in there?
Not found. I don't feel like it ever just like shows up. It's just like I can feel like if I drink soup, if I have soup or coffees and stuff, it gets stuck in the mustache and I'm like, oh fuck it. You know, you gotta go wash it because it gets stuck.
Yeah, to be fair, the way I use the word found there makes it sound like it just you have no control over what what happens whatsoever. It's just stuff starts turning up. But mate, thanks ever so much for taking some time out, because an exciting time in your life, an exciting time in the life of the band as well. Before we get into the album, which I'm a huge fan of, just for those listening who don't know, tell us a bit about you guys as a band, because you've been around for a little while, and I know that you've obviously changed your sound up, and there's been a few iterations. So yeah, just tell us about those early days of the band and how you came together.
Yeah, well, Greeny plays guitar. Greeny and I met at a party,
yeah.
And Greeny was... back then he was a good one and I was playing guitar but I wasn't really that good, and then Greeny's just said, you know, come over, but we didn't realize that we played music with, like, I knew that he played music but I didn't really play music back in school, and then he went over to Europe and then he came home and then he said, I really want to start a band. So he teed up with Greeny and I, and then we started Divers, and then we went into record. Our first song was called Lost With You, and a friend of ours, El Will, shout out El Will, he was the drummer. In that period of time, Tom was the guy that was like able to use all the different doors and all the different software that we needed to edit the songs. So we became pretty good mates through that. And then we're just like, Tom, why don't you just play drums with us, dude? And drums. And then it was probably like two or three years after we started the band that we ended up trying to play live, because it was during COVID. Pretty much maybe I would say like a year before COVID we started Divers.
Yeah.
And then obviously COVID just wrecked that.
Yeah.
So
mate,
we had a bit of time to just make music. And I think predominantly we're like a studio band. We prefer to record music over play gigs. Gigs are awesome as well, but we just like being in the studio because it's just a fun time. Like all four of us have just a rip of time when we record together.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's interesting. I've never really thought about that, to be fair, as like you guys operating as a unit and what you might or might not prefer, because obviously there's so much like fanfare around like, oh, playing live and touring. And one thing that does make me laugh, like fans or people who might not know music as well, like just have no idea how much hard work and how actually quite grueling touring can be. So they have this like, they see the cool like after movie as it were, but like the actual hitting the road and doing it, especially in a fuck off massive country like Australia, it's pretty fucking taxing, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, we haven't really done that much touring, so, but we've done enough to realize like just how difficult it is in Australia, just because if you want to do, there's almost like a bit of a gray area, I feel like, if you want to tour a lot and you're not doing your own shows and you're not selling heaps of tickets, and you have to drive. So you can't, like, being from we would drive to Sydney and Adelaide and so, maybe get lucky, go to Hobart. I suppose that's possible. But going to Brizzy is a little out of the question for us, because you would have to fly up, and then it's just
too
expensive for us. But if you live in a place like America, I mean, you always see, like, a lot of American bands, they just, like, do the classic, get in the car, go between every city. Like, they're not that, like, they're far away, but they're not, like, that far away, which seems fun. Like, that would probably be
where. No, yeah, true.
So I've like read a lot of stuff, like, you know, Alex G and bands like that. They just get in the car and they go on for ages, and then they're gigging. And
yeah, absolutely.
I think they weeknights and stuff as well. And, like, yeah, we don't really gig in weeknights. We just do the weekends, so, like, weekend warriors. So.
yeah. I prefer that, Matt. Is there anything worse though when you're a punter and you're like, oh, that band I want to see is finally in town, and you're like, why the fuck are they playing on a Tuesday? What's going on?
Very much, because it's like, yeah, like a little bit deflating. You're just like,
absolutely.
Just really wanted to, like, have a few beers and unwind, but yeah, it doesn't always
work absolute out. Absolute killer, man. Absolute killer. You just mentioned Alex G there. I did read somewhere that he is quite a big influence on Divers. What kind of elements of his music do you think you guys have brought into your stuff?
Yeah, so I listened to, I think it's called Rules Today, one of his albums, and I liked how his guitars weren't in, like, I like how his guitars aren't in key, and they kind of go out and they create, like, a bit of a feeling, and it's not so much of a feeling that you know. It's like a new one. It'll give you a new feeling. And it's like, that's kind of what we like, I think, in music, because half the time when you go away, we're not like making, it's not sit down, write a song, and then the song's like Ed Sheeran type plans. It's kind of like we're trying to create feelings and different interesting feelings that sometimes you literally sort of make, like, listen to somebody's song or make a song and you'll be like, I've actually never felt that way before ever. And it's like a fresh feeling like that. And that's really cool. I like that. And that's what I kind of hunt. And I reckon Alex G does that a fair bit. He'll kind of give you this, like, he'll put you in this headspace. I don't know, it's hard to explain, but it's like he does a lot of his stuff up until Rocket and stuff, and what was that, like, his recent one hasn't really done much for me, but yeah, that's what he said. So we definitely, as I was younger, I was like grabbing pieces of his feelings, I suppose, and trying to, like, drop them into what we like.
Absolutely. I like how you phrase that as well, man, like hunting a feeling. That's quite a cool way of, like, describing the songwriting process for you guys. I think that's really cool, because I think, obviously, if you think someone mainstream, like, it is typically generic things, love, breakup, whatever it might be. One thing I really enjoy about your tracks, and particularly that as, like, a little body of work, is, like, you can't, it does work really well together, but individually those tracks are very of their own, you know, they live in their own space 100%. Was that, like, something you really wanted to achieve on the album?
Sure.
Or was that kind of because you did go and hunt for those feelings in each track?
Well, yeah, it was just like the album pretty much was just like songs that we liked that worked together from our drive, in our Google Drive. So we would just, like, bounce it out, put it into the Google Drive, and then over the course of, like, a couple of years, the boys have sort of found their favourite songs. And, like, to be honest, I think we have, like, another two albums there that we could have selected from, but one of them is, like, kind of what we were doing in the past, which is a little bit more, like, melodic, shiny, indie pop, indie rock sort of stuff. And then we were going to do that, and then we just thought, pretty much like I was saying before, I would probably rather release something and maybe try to show somebody a new feeling, like, because that's what I like in music. I like to feel like when I'm listening, this is sick. Like, I've never felt like this before. Not that maybe those songs really do that too much, but I think, like, maybe it was better for us to release something that was more of, like, a bit of a risk, but, you know, maybe not for everybody, but if you do like it, you might love it.
100%, man. I think in particular on The Great Tree, that's a track for me that does something like that and creates something really different and unique. Just, it's got a great mix of, like, euphoria, it's got something not of this world to it, I think, and but also, like, it makes you want to go and have a little dance as well. I think it's got, like, such a real, probably mystical is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah,
I reckon.
Thanks.
What was the story behind that track? Because it's something, like you say, again, going back to this unique thing, something very unique from you guys.
Thanks, man. Well, that was just a fluke. That was like, I was sort of trying to do this thing where there was, because we would have indie guitars We'd have just like guitars with chords, but one of our lessons we learned from like previous recordings was too much sort of stuff in a mix just turns into noise. And like I was thinking like there's a cool crossover there between like funk drums that are tight and indie guitars. I thought maybe that hasn't really been explored that much that I'd heard. It probably sure someone's gonna listen to that and be like, dude, that's been done a million times. But like
come on now.
Originally the song was like a pretty tripped out, like when that, you know, that part with the great trees, like great trees speaking.
That
went for like maybe six times longer than what it actually was, and it was like this thing about him taking over and he's gonna like, I'm gonna kill you, I'm gonna come for you and stuff. Then there was the second verse, and then
it gets a bit sinister.
Really long sort of breakdown thing, and then instead of it going to the euphoric outro, it was like a part where he does take over, and then we just played the whole thing but in a minor tone, and then there's like the sounds of guns and he's like,
yeah, cool.
And he literally just takes back the land. And we were like, no, I want to record my favorite thing. Like, we were just like, oh, too soon, shit. And then we're just like, we can't fucking release it. It's a little bit too, like, jarring. So we were like, all right, we'll try and make something different. And we threw, like, three choruses at it. And then that was the one that stuck. And it was like, oh, yeah, this is good. Like, you get that, like, sort of dancey feel. And then it sort of steps up and takes you a little bit euphoric. And we all liked that. And then we just landed on that. And then ended it off.
We're talking of tracks that like take you up to that next level. I mean, in terms of a track to open an album plans, I'm just looking at my second screen here. I genuinely wrote down, fuck me, what a way to kick off the album. Because, mate, you're just like straight into it with that. What did you always have that in mind as the album opener, purely because it was like on your marks, go?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, well, I appreciate you liking that song because I was like, I feel like for me, plans is like, you sort of get, this is like you're opening the door to the album, this is the tone, and if you don't like plans, and you're probably not gonna like the album, I feel. So it's like if you like it, then it's like this is the sort of journey we're on. To a degree, there's some songs that like outlie a little bit, but that was, once we made it, we're just like, oh, the same sort of thing. We're trying to go outside playing chords because that's what we'd usually play. So we're just like, oh, one chord and then whammy it down, and then just that's a riff. And then it was like, it's so fucked. It's so like unusual. I think it was always going to be the opener, I think, from the moment we found it, just because it was so abrupt and in your face. And we were a little bit on the fence. We were just like, open it a little bit, like for somebody that doesn't like that type of music, maybe leave it a little bit nicer as an intro. They're like, no. We're like, if we're making this album, we've got to probably do it properly and like be.
Yeah. No, I like that. It also kind of ties into just the way that the world operates now. Like, you have to grab someone's attention, otherwise they just like pass them by. I think it really serves that purpose. A couple of other tracks I wanted to speak to you about as well. The Mouse, like, I just think that's just like almost a cosmic track. It's just ridiculously good. And Head Chef, man, like, it's what it's all about. With those two tracks, ones that you were like, here we go, because obviously they were released as singles off of the album as well, but were they like the ones that you kind of looked at each other and went, we've got something?
Yeah, I think Head Chef was, because it had like a bit of character to it, and it's like you can like it or dislike it, but it's kind of got something there that's not, doesn't feel like it floats by at all. It's just like, it's kind of, it's got like its own identity. And I thought that was like awesome about the song. When in the past we'd release a single, then we'd play it live and it sucked.
Why do you think in the past those tracks haven't like landed as well when you've gone on to play them?
I don't know. It's like we spend too much time in the computer, I think. And then you, like, all of the sounds that we record with are in the computer.
Yeah, right. As part of your live setup. Yeah. Okay, cool. I got you. Is it true as well with The Mouse that it's based on a story linked to a share house? What's the go with the mouse?
Yeah, so Scott and I lived together, and there was a mouse in the house, basically. A mouse in the house.
Mouse in the house.
He was constantly running up and down, like, the tree, and I don't know, we were just like, how would we kill it? I don't know, we just really liked it. Like, we didn't really get a chance to, like, talk to it or become friends with it or whatever. Like, it just was off there doing its own thing. But we just were laughing about, like, the idea of thinking about, like, going, like, it's all right, buddy, like, you're safe with us, so you got his arm around him, and, like, it was just, like, maybe a funny thought, more so than, like, we sat down, we're like, oh, we're going to write about the mouse, it just happened naturally, I suppose.
Yeah, fair. I think alarmingly, a lot of people can hold their hand up and say they have a mouse-based show house story. So that's what, because I do as well. And I know what you mean. You kind of get to a point where you're like, all right, this is pretty gross, but they're quite cute. And I like what you said there. When you were like, we didn't get a chance to chat to him. I just like the thought of you like giving them a little chair to sit down and be like, listen, man, we know you're having fun. You've got to stop fucking eating our food. So, yeah, in terms of you guys as an outfit and now you've got the album out, one thing that I do like, again, going stylistically, like going back to that and how you guys operate, I think they're listening outside looking in. There's a real freedom to your music, I think. And it's not, as I said before, like it works as this one body of music, as a collective of songs. But individually, I think they breathe their own life. And I think it is such a fresh breath of air, this record. What was the thinking collectively for you guys, like going into this? Like you were like, okay, we want to create this album. Did you have like, I hate the word ethos, but an ethos as it were going into writing this?
Well, no, not really. Like we sort of picked the songs from the drive, put them together. This was the Unusual album. And then we just thought like we should just do, like, to be honest with Greeny and I, Greeny plays guitar. We had a chat before we released it and we were going like, both of us were 100% ready for it to just no one listen to it, just completely flop, because we're just like, whatever, we just like the music. And that, and we prioritized going away making music, so we would just keep doing that anyway. Like it didn't matter if it flops or no one listens to it, because we'll make another one regardless. Like it's not like it's going to come whether they like it or not. We're wrapped in the result and they're like, yeah, I like it, let's release it. Like, and it's been nice to hear people enjoying it. Like, yeah, we're actually quite shocked that people are enjoying it, to be honest. Like it's exciting.
It is exciting, mate. And as I said, like that breath of fresh air thing, I think it's just like the element of fun within it as well, because like tracks like, yeah, Head Chef and The Mouse, like they're very different in terms of things that you're writing about. And it's kind of just like, again, I don't know if I'm the only one to pick up on this, that I've talked about like mythical feeling in The Great Tree and like a cosmic kind of synthy sound within The Mouse. It's kind of got that, these weird elements to them. And I mean weird in the nicest way possible. But I think that's what comes through really nicely, I think, on this piece.
Yeah,
of work.
No, we've wrapped it. We're proud and we're like really happy. And it's nice for people to be enjoying it. Like it's all just bonuses to us. We're just like, thank you so much. Like, I don't even know how to, like, people sometimes, like, people will message us and just be like, oh, we love the album. It's just like, you love it, really? I'm like, thank you, like, thank you for listening to it. Like, it's more just crazy that people take the time to listen to it. So we're just fucking beyond happy, man. So thank you so much for listening as well.
And absolutely, I suppose it's quite cool once you do get an album out to start being like, it's weird to think that we're like pretty much, we're like part of people's lives now.
Yeah.
And like people will just be doing everyday mundane things with Divers playing in the background.
I know, it's bizarre to think that. And like we got put onto the radio and then we're just like, one day my partner and I were picking up like a door and we were struggling to work the radio in my car and then I couldn't get it working. And then all of a sudden The Great Tree came on and I'm like, oh, it's working. I'm like, oh, I've obviously put this on. And then I'm like, oh, it's the fucking radio. It's like Triple J. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's like, who else is listening?
Mate, yeah.
Like, how many people is...
That's so cool. It's weird. As stuff like that, I was having a conversation with a friend the other day who lives up in Byron. We met at university. And, like, we're just talking about how weird it is that we've known each other for so long. We both now live in Australia. I was like, sometimes you've got to, like, just check in almost with your 15-year-old self to, like, have those little moments of, like, fuck, I'm doing all right, actually. Like, I reckon if you told your 15-year-old self you just dropped an album, you're being played on Triple J, you'd be like, fuck off.
Oh, I do. Well, he would have quit his job right then and there as well, and then he would have failed for 10 years, so...
Yeah. Yeah, that could go one of two ways, actually. Maybe if you went back, be like, oh, stop trying, you're fine. That's so true. Yeah, exactly. You've got a few dates coming up as well. You're playing in June in Melbourne, 26th of June at the Burgie Bad Room. Also playing with Romany that night, which is cool. Romany's been on the show before. I love Romany, she's great. And I think you've got, is it two other dates you have as well?
Yeah, we've got, we're going up to Nui. There's one in Sydney and we're playing at the Vic on the Park.
Cool, Benny. Well, if you're ready, mate, we'll build your dream gig venue and get into that.
I'll have 2 pints, please. Fuck, I love this band. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy, yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The dream gig venue. Step this way.
All right, Benny, let's do it. Let's build your dream gig venue. First of all, can you please tell me the name you would like to give your venue?
Naughty Dog Tavern or something like that. I think it was Naughty Dog Tavern for the odd dog.
By the way, I love in the video of, is it the mouse where you've got the mouse and the dog in the video?
Yeah, the odd dog.
Who actually went and got in those outfits? Were you wearing any of them?
Yeah, Scott was the dog. Scott was handing out CDs on the street to people. We've got him mocked up. It's hilarious. And then I was the mouse.
You must have got some serious looks that day. Because when I saw the dog, the dog kind of reminds me of, you know, the van that they have in Dumb and Dumber.
The van they have? Oh.
Kind of looks like that.
I think so.
With the ears on the side and it's like fluffy on the outside. Yeah,
I know exactly what you're talking about. That was,
so funny.
We ended up going to like the park and then we played basketball with these random people. They let us play basketball, but then we're like, oh, we'll go just do like a quick slide down the slide. And then we got to the park and then obviously all the kids who were coming up, they're going like, oh, it's a dog. So we had to, we're like giving out our flags to the kids. The parents were looking at us like,
what? So funny. Up next for the Dream Gift venue, support acts, dead or alive, who would you like?
I'm gonna go Mozart. I'm gonna lock in Mozart, please.
Good. I love that. I love as well just bringing him, just dropping him into 2026, yeah. Like just zero context and just see how he gets
live
on.
Live the life, the same life, see what happens. Yes.
Like, can you imagine being like, well, just think where your 15-year-old self could have been. I think Mozart was actually composing stuff, but when he was 12, so he was probably actually fine as a 15-year-old.
I heard he was a wizard and he was young, he was just a freak.
Yeah, God, we're so fucking cultured, Benny, honestly. Up next, what would you like to go for? Your walkout song, what are you having?
Well, Symphony No. 5.
That'd be quite cool to have a support act bleed straight into the main headliner, actually. Like, that'd be great if they could do that. Just do one fat soundtrack at the beginning of a gig and just no gaps.
And then he's in the middle and he's on wheels on the piano. And then when he's done, he just keeps playing and someone's just like slowly like sliding him to the side. And he's still there.
Just deadpan. Mozart with a deadpan face would be amazing. What piece of merch would you like to have on sale?
I'm going to get his like corset thing that he wears with divers across the top.
It's just all Mozart. Fuck yeah. Okay. I could see that. Any like little hats with feathers in as well? I reckon that could work quite well.
Yeah.
The last thing for the dream gig venue, mate. Can you please tell me the one rule that you would like the audience to abide by?
I had a couple for this, but none of them were very good. So I'm just going to go with this one. Everyone wear the corsets throughout the night. So it's like a dress up party.
I love that. Yeah, that'd be great. Well, there you go, man. There's the dream gig venue. Perfect.
Dude,
thanks
ever
so much.
Appreciate speaking to you, Luke.
Alternative Down Under.
There you go. Mozart, get involved. Bring him back from the dead. Thanks to Benny there from Divers and a thoroughly enjoyable chat. And I just love going through the album with him and just even a track like Plans really smack you straight in the face. Such a solid way to start an album. And I really like that line from Benny there being like, hey, if you're not going to like that, then you probably won't like the album. The door's only slightly ajar for you. If you don't like it, fuck off. And just that real sense of himself and the band kind of taking a sit back and going, we've actually created something we should be really proud of. And being able to have that awareness and to take that moment to let that sink in is really nice to hear as well. It must be quite hard as an artist, particularly with everything else that goes with becoming an artist, everything else that goes with being an artist at the moment, the social media, the replying to people, the putting yourself out there, the struggling to make money and go on tour. To be able to actually enjoy those little moments is a real big thing, I think. So big up to the guys. And coming up on tour, they've got a couple of dates. I'm seeing them here in Melbourne, 26th of June at Bergy Band Room. And on the 18th of July, they'll be playing at the Metro in Adelaide. Be sure to go and check out their socials, grab a ticket and get involved. They say they're not typically a live band, but with these new tracks and the size of the sound that they bring, tracks like Great Tree, Holiday, Cruiser Confusion, and The Mouse Man, oh, as I mentioned in that interview, it's just got this real like cosmic synth quality to it. It's just, oh, so, so good. So yeah, get involved, get around Divers, and keep getting around Australian music. It really is fucking great. Thought I'd add a Northern English accent there just to add a slight bit of Britishness into my praise for Australian music. You're welcome, Aussies. Anyway, that has been episode 35. I'll be back soon. I do actually promise I will be back sooner. Going to try pump out one a month whilst doing this new job as well. In the meantime, take care and I'll catch you real soon.